The Musician's Map ebook is the new definitive guide on building success in music. Whether you're just starting out, or you're looking for gigs, or you're trying to make a career, the Musician's Map ebook is right for you. The Musician's Map ebook contains 20 years of music industry experience distilled into a 40,000 word guide to achieving your goals in music. Can't read? Get the Musician's Map audiobook. 4.5 hours of author Kane Power speaking directly into your own ears. That's right, even you can still benefit from the Musician's Map guide to building success in music. Head to musiciansmap.org/books right now to get your copy of the Musician's Map ebook or audiobook. Get it today and receive a special one-time-only offer of a personal pat on the back from author and podcast personality Kane Power. The Musician's Map ebook and audiobook is also available at Amazon and Audible if you feel like supporting those giant websites as well. The Musician's Map ebook, your guide to building success in music. Proof of purchase required for pat on the back. To receive a pat on the back, you must travel to Raglan, New Zealand. Travel not included in purchase price. Welcome to the Musician's Map podcast. Tragedy has struck this week, and my faithful computer has died on me. And it's also been an interesting week in a couple of other ways. The main one was that my wife and partner in crime, Ruth Power, organized a kids' holiday program for local kids in Raglan to come along and learn about music and genres. And we wrote some songs together and formed bands and made some music videos. And it's this really cool thing that she organized, and then we did. But it's really tough looking after that many kids. There was 18 of them all day for 3 days. So we don't have a lot of experience doing that, and so it was totally exhausting. And I really haven't had time to think about anything else. And then the computer blew up. And so I am currently recording on Ruth's computer. And there is no preparation being done for this podcast. It's a rare thing. And I almost didn't record one because I didn't have anything to talk about, or I didn't have any guests scheduled to appear. And I'm usually very well ahead of these things. But as I've just explained, this week, none of that has worked. But my dedication is so strong to this podcast that I'm recording something right now. And it's going to be recorded entirely live, which, if you don't know, podcasts are quite heavily edited, most podcasts anyway. I know because I do a bit of podcast editing on the side, and my podcasts are usually edited not as heavily as others. I like to leave in a lot of the ums and ahs and pauses and whatever. I don't mind too much about that stuff, swear words. But I don't have time for any of that today. So this is a one-take wonder, so excuse me if my thoughts aren't entirely quick. Normal people don't think as fast as they do, as they sound on podcasts when they've been edited. I'm sure you will agree. Anyway, what we're going to talk about this week, what are we going to talk about this week? I really just wanted to give you guys something. Firstly, I wanted to say thank you so much for actually listening to the podcast. Numbers are growing. The podcast is getting bigger. We're getting bigger and better guests. You guys have been fantastic. I still really love hearing from everybody. So if you are a listener and you're lurking out there and you haven't gotten in touch with me, please get in touch. Send me an email, kane@musiciansmap.org. You can ask me a question, or you can say how much you love the podcast, or maybe what you don't like about it, even though that would be a bit sad. And we can have a chat about pretty much anything you like. I just like hearing from people who are listening and getting some value from the podcast. So do get in touch and go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/musiciansmap, and chuck us a like. So we can help that community grow as well. I'm not that great at Facebook and things like that, but I try. and the Facebook page is very small at the moment. Hopefully we can get it growing. It's not my primary concern, but if you were to like it, you know, that means that when I run some ads, I might reach people that you know, which is kind of the point, you know, to grow the podcast in that way. Anyway, I don't do that very often. So let's kind of get into it. We've been talking about so many awesome things. We've had so many crazy guests, but a couple of things have come up recently surrounding touring. How to do a tour. We've talked to a few independent musicians and they have been off on tours of their own. I just paused then. So we have a studio, we'll come back to touring. We have a studio and it's in a really quiet area. It's awesome. And we've, you know, in the process of soundproofing it and making it as best we can. It's a cool little place. But I'm in on Saturday, putting out this podcast. I'm going to upload it immediately after I've done talking. And usually on Saturdays, I don't do this kind of thing. I come out and I work on other stuff. It's interesting that when I do want to record something, the neighbor next door is pumping heavy trance electronic music, and the neighbor to the other side is decided to test out all of their power tools today. We have dogs barking, and now I've got a huge truck backing down the driveway with squeaking brakes and stuff because someone is moving into a house. Yeah. Anyway, so we've been talking to a lot of these cool independent artists, and they've been talking about how they play shows and they go on tours. Excuse me. How do they actually do it? You know, I usually ask them and we talk about it, but we don't really get into detail specifically how you go about booking a tour and then how you go on tour and what is it actually like. I can speak from experience. I've toured many times, and I've organized many tours all throughout New Zealand, through Australia a couple of times, throughout the UK. There's kind of a knack to it, but and it sort of applies anywhere. So one thing I would say is that you probably want some kind of recording before you even think about it. And you probably want to have played a few shows at home, and you have a home base, a home fan base, before you think about getting on the road and taking your product and your music to other places. So I'd say you've probably got an EP or a demo at the very least, because when you are going and spreading the word in other towns, you're going to show up to places. Firstly, how do you expect people to come to the show if they can't hear what you sound like, unless you're playing with a, you know, established band already? Secondly, if they come to the show and they like you, they need to be able to know where they can find your music, because you want to strike while the iron is hot. I know it's kind of a cliche, but you really do. You want to get in there as quickly as possible after they're interested, to hold their interest, because they will forget. So you want like a recording of some sort. I mean, it doesn't have to be an album. It just can be something that is worth listening to. And I think what we should do is create a hypothetical scenario where we're going on tour, and we'll plan it from scratch. And we're going to do it in Great Britain, because it's small, it's easy to picture, and it doesn't require any international flights, unless you're doing Northern Ireland or something, but not this time. But you can apply what I'm about to talk about to any country or state. We're going to assume you're in a four-piece rock band, just to make it easy, but it can apply to anybody at all. So there's a few terms. Well, let's just get booking agents right out of the way. Booking agents are people who make money from booking gigs. When you hire a booking agent, you're paying for their connections, their knowledge, and experience in a particular country or region. They will either charge you an upfront fee or a per gig fee or both, and they might have a list of venues that pay them to book talent. I've hired a booking agent a couple of times. One guy also ran a promotions company, and he booked a two-week Australian tour for my band. His financial arrangement with us was a percentage of the ticket sales for our shows, and he was worth absolutely worth every single dollar we paid him. He was professional, his shows were well organized, and we played to thousands of people. The most recent, air quotes happening here, you can't see it, agent I hired was on advice of a record label who were looking to sign my band at the time. This booking agent was, to my surprise, just an intern who booked us a series of progressively worse gigs, costing us hundreds of pounds in transport, fuel, and accommodation, and a couple of years of painstakingly accrued spirit. Agents can make or break your tour, so the moral here is to do your research thoroughly before hiring one, or you could just book it yourself. You don't really need an agent to book a grassroots tour. Well, you certainly don't need an agent to book a grassroots tour. Agents are more for... I don't really want to put my foot in it, because you can use an agent if you've never toured before, absolutely. But they're probably looking at booking you bigger shows. They're not going to book you house parties. They're not going to book you basement parties. They're not going to book kind of, DIY shows as much as you could just book yourself. And sometimes when you're starting out, those are the sorts of shows that you're going to be playing in towns to make money along the way on your tour, because that's what it's all about. You can't just fund a tour from your, well, you can just fund a tour from your savings, but you'll just ruin yourself. You at least want to be making a tiny bit of money from shows, even if it's gas money to pay to drive to the next venue. So let's start from the start. Choose your dates. You probably work a job or two and probably need to book time off work in advance. Talk to your bandmates, or if it's just you, decide when the optimum time to tour would be. Don't leave it too long after the release of your album or single or your EP or demo. Ideally, you've booked a tour to coincide with the release of that, and then schedule your time off work. Take your audience into consideration when you choose dates. Is your audience predominantly 25 to 35-year-olds? They probably have young children and may be away during the school holidays, meaning they won't be around to attend your gig at that time. Is your audience mainly high school students? Well, don't play on a school night. Don't tour over Christmas or Easter. Your audience will be with family and probably won't come to see you play. I have actually done Christmas shows and Easter shows, and sometimes they've been super successful. If you're in a big city, some of the rules don't really apply, because you can put on special concerts, and if it's an Easter party, you could dress up as a bunny and give out eggs, or Christmas dress up or something like that. And in big cities, sometimes that is fun, but in small towns, sometimes it really does not work, because people just have family commitments that they can't get out of in those times. So now decide whether your tour is going to be a weekend tour or a week-long tour. What I mean by that is that many bands choose to... here's the no editing part. See, that would have been edited out, and I would have... The next part you hear would have come in perfectly, and you wouldn't have even known that I messed up that sentence. But now you do. Now you know my secrets. Many bands choose to tour on consecutive weekends rather than spending a week or two on the road all at once. This means you can take less time off work and play venues on the most popular nights of the week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The problem with weekend tours is that you often have to do more driving to return home each weekend, and if you're renting transport, multiple rentals can cost more than one long-term rental. So weigh up which is best for you. I've done both. Weekend tours, yeah, I mean, it's kind of just what I said. There are pluses and minuses. It's awesome to take 2 weeks off work and go on a massive tour, but then you're stuck playing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights in shitty venues or in places you don't want to go, or in big towns and no one comes, or you're not playing those nights at all, and then therefore you're losing money. So just consider that. Equipment is probably the next point. Hopefully you can find venues with a PA system, so you don't have to take your own or hire one. What else you take will depend on the venue and acts you are playing with. It's common for venues to have things like a house drum kit and house amps, but they're often in crap condition due to overuse and people spilling alcohol on them. If you are comfortable using house gear, then you can just take the basics, leaving the drums and amps at home, which means, you might not need to have a massive van to take everything in, which can be a plus. Alternatively, you might ask local acts, you know, if you can borrow their gear on the night. But again, this is at your own risk. I can't even express the amount of times I've played a house kit or borrowed a drum kit and it has fallen apart during the show and just been the shittest thing and represented my sound terribly because it sounds like shit and it's hard to play. Anyway, in either situation, it's essential to take what we call the breakables, which are things like, you know, kick pedals, snare drums, cymbals, drumsticks, guitars, and keyboards. If you're a singer, it can be helpful to take your own vocal mic. This way you don't have to share a mic with the spit of 1,000 singers that have used that microphone over the years. Personally, I don't like to risk having to use bad quality gear. I always take everything I need to put on the best show I can. If the house drums are actually quality, then great. Mine can stay in the van for this gig. Well, actually, I would bring them inside still, because never leave gear in the van unattended. Never, ever, 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 ever. You know every single story of bands getting their van broken into and ripped off? It wouldn't matter if your gear wasn't in the van. Just never, ever do it. Never. Not even once. Always load in. No matter where you are, sleep with your drums. It's better than losing them. Okay, anyway, back to, if the house gear is rubbish, as usual, then you're not forced to play it because you have your own gear. I feel like I need to backtrack a little bit because I think when you're kind of choosing dates and when you're booking time off, how do you even know where to go? I mean, okay, we're gonna get into that in a different way. Yeah, okay, here we go. Transport. Do one of you or your bandmates own a reliable vehicle that can fit all of your gear? If not, then you need to borrow or hire a van or a vehicle that can fit what you need. Hiring can be great because if you ever break down, you are covered and no one has to sacrifice their vehicle, but hiring can be expensive. You also need to add fuel costs to your budget if you're driving. You can find a fuel cost calculator online and work out how much it might cost based on your vehicle, route, and the price of fuel. Remember that you can also tour in a car if it can tow a trailer. Trailer hire can be much cheaper than van hire. Just make sure that it's a solid, enclosed trailer, you know, with one of those plastic pullover roofs. Because, you know, obviously, you don't want to get it wet and you don't want shit to fall out. Now, you need to plan which cities you're going to visit. Aim for major centres where there are a lot of people, but also look at towns along the way, places you could use to break up the trip if it's a long drive between major cities. Towns can often be the best places to play because people in cities are blasé. They have gigs coming out their ass. There are so many gigs that it's tiring to figure out which gig you want to go to, so you don't go to any. In a small town, everyone goes to the gigs because that's what there is to do. So it's worth looking at small towns. A great way to start planning a tour is by looking at recently completed tours by acts similar to you. Do you see the same cities and venues popping up on their tour posters? Does everyone play Newcastle but no one ever plays Blackpool? Well, there's probably a reason. So look at some acts, maybe a couple of steps above you, and see where they've played, where their tours have gone. First point would be to get in touch with the venues that they've played before. Figure out why they're playing there and see if you can play there too. So our hypothetical band is London-based. So to start with, in Great Britain, you should aim for the major cities. London, Birmingham, Sheffield, Leeds, Manchester, Liverpool, Glasgow, Edinburgh, Leicester, and Bristol, I suppose. Since you're a rock band, you could also target cities like Brighton for its renowned live music scene that kicks ass down there, and Oxford and Cambridge because they have massive student populations. So that's 13 stops on your tour already, almost a gig a night for 2 weeks. Can you handle that? Can your singer? Do you need to visit them all? Let's look at where your fans are. So find your fans. Most of your fans are probably local at this point. If you're planning a tour based on this podcast, most of your fans are local. So you need to find out if you have fans anywhere else. It's important to play to new audiences, but having a few fans in the room will always make for a better gig. Look at the analytics of your social media accounts and websites to determine where else your fans live. Also, post about your upcoming tour and ask your fans where you should play. Hopefully, you'll get a good idea of cities and even venues to try and book. Now you kind of want to plan your route between venues. You should probably be able to see already a rough idea of where you can play based on who will book you and where your fans are. So let's say we've decided to do the whole tour in one go, but we're going to skip Leicester and Cambridge because we don't have any fans that live there and we haven't noticed any other rock bands playing there. That's only grindcore that plays in Leicester and Cambridge. That leaves 11 stops. So you're driving, unfortunately, so you want to be as economical as possible with your travel time between cities, because even though the UK is small, it still takes a long time. Here's what your dates and route might look like. So you might start on a Tuesday and you'd play Sheffield. Wednesday, you'd play Leeds. Thursday, Edinburgh. Friday, Glasgow. Saturday, Liverpool. So that's kind of like, maybe look at a map while you're listening to this. Pull up a map. Push pause, pull up a map. Start in Sheffield, which is, you know, middle of kind of northern centre. Leeds is kind of more northern England. Edinburgh, it's a long drive, but that's at the bottom of Scotland. And then you go across to Glasgow and then right back down to Liverpool. Okay, and then you've got Sunday and Monday as break days, because who wants to play a Sunday or a Monday? Well, not who wants to play. Who's going to go to gigs on Sundays and Mondays? There have to be specific gigs, maybe not rock gigs. Next Tuesday, you're going to play Manchester because you ended in Liverpool. You're probably just spending your time Sunday and Monday hanging out in Liverpool and Manchester seeing the sights. So play Manchester Tuesday night. Wednesday, and it's a big city, so you could probably get away with pulling a Tuesday crowd. Wednesday is Birmingham. Thursday, you're going down still to Oxford. Friday, head across to Bristol. Saturday night, you're in Brighton, and that is the biggest show of the tour right there. Saturday in Brighton, rock band is going to be massive. And then Sunday, come back, play a hometown show in London. Sunday, play a matinee show. You can get your fans along because you're local, get your friends, get your family to come along, have a big end of tour party show kind of thing, and people will come down on a Sunday. So there it is. That's nearly... I've done the math on this already. In case you can't figure it out, what I'm kind of referring to is a chapter from the Musician's Map ebook advertised at the start of this podcast. Go and check it out. Pick it up. It's a great resource. Loads of good stuff, like the information I'm talking about right now. And it's only $10. And buying a copy directly contributes to the continuation of this podcast. So your tour is nearly 2,000 kilometres, which is 1,240 miles, and that's 24 hours of driving over 13 days. You better have more than one driver or drink lots of coffee. I don't know. So now that you kind of know where you want to go, the dates that you want to do it, and how you're going to get there and the route you're going to travel, you need to kind of figure out where you are actually going to put on these shows. So make a list of all of the venues in the cities that put on gigs. Use the other band's tours as a template, like we talked about before, adding all of the venues you can find that have hosted gigs in the last year in that city. To think about it, does every touring band seem to play the Crown and Anchor in Liverpool? It's probably because they have a good PA, or they pay well, or attract a regular crowd. So there's the first spot on your list for that city. Compile venues with names and email contacts and start getting in touch about the kind of or about the specific date you want or other possible dates that they could accommodate you. This kind of, you know, make a list. And then find out which venues are available for your dates, then book your tour. You have to be a little bit flexible here. Maybe you have to, you know, play Glasgow before Edinburgh or Manchester before Liverpool, or, you know, hopefully you can work it out, but you will be able to work it out. So find out which venues are available and book your tour. Make a spreadsheet so you know where you need to be and when, and include any other info you think you might need, like soundcheck times, promoter details, cell numbers, and accommodation, which is the next thing we're going to talk about. Unless you're making a ton of money already, or you have very wealthy friends or family, you probably aren't going to be staying in hotels at this point. My first question once I've booked a venue is, do you have any accommodation? Sometimes venues have a room or an apartment they will let you sleep in for free. Or maybe they'll charge you a small fee, but most of the time, if they have something like that, it's for the band. If they say no, ask if they can recommend somewhere close to the venue. You're looking at hostels, B&Bs, and motels. If you're on a really, really low budget, consider asking friends or fans in that city if you can stay with them. This is where touring with sleeping bags comes in handy. More on that later, maybe, if we get time. A final option is to ask the acts you are playing with if they have anywhere you can sleep. Now, I've done this countless times when I was a teenager and early 20s, touring with metal bands and hardcore bands. You go, okay, we want to do a show in wherever, and we know that this band lives there. Hey, guys, can we come and do a show with you? Yep, awesome, Saturday night. And then you get there and you say, hey, can we crash at your place? And they say, of course you can, because we're in the same scene and we're all cool people, and all you need is a floor because you've brought your sleeping bag. Other acts in the cities. Depending on your situation, you might either be put on a lineup by a promoter, depends on the venue you're playing, or charged with creating a lineup yourself. They might just say, yeah, we've got an empty room, fill it. The latter option is harder, but it can reap huge rewards. Here is your chance to play to the crowds of the most popular bands in that city. See who is playing regular shows in the area, get in touch and ask them to play on your lineup. Always aim for acts that have comparable or preferably higher popularity than you. I don't know why I said it that way, but make sure you get popular bands to play to give your show the best chance of success. Don't be afraid to give up the headline slot. You know, if you've got three incredible local bands that you know are going to pull a massive crowd, open the show. Who cares? Like, it's usually worst to play last anyway, and your name would look good on a bill with them, and you're exposed to all of their fans. That's how you do it. So the last kind of thing in this section, can you tell I'm making this up? Hopefully not. Promotion. You need to promote your shows, obviously. Otherwise, who is going to come? You can ask how the venue and local acts that you've organized to come and play your show, how they plan on promoting the show, because they need to do some as well. Ask them what they can offer, and then you pretty much do the rest. You make posters and flyers, you send them to the venue and to the other acts to distribute around town. Make a tour poster and plaster it everywhere. Create Facebook events for each show. List each show on all local and national gig guides. Call local radio stations to get on their gig guides and try to get them to play a song or two, or ideally do an interview before your show in that city. Look at your schedule and identify your weak points. You're playing Sheffield, Leeds, Manchester and Birmingham on either Tuesday or Wednesday nights, which aren't typically big nights for live music. You will need to focus extra promotional attention in those cities for those dates. So kind of put it all together and you've pretty much just booked a tour. Kind of. I mean, there's more to it, I guess. We could just talk about it so much, and I think we're going to. This is a quick overview. I kind of thought, hey, we should talk about touring, and I pulled up an article, and I've read through it briefly, and you could really, really get into details on each and every point, and we will at some point, I'm sure. Let's just do a quick kind of, I don't know how quick this is going to be. Anyway, let's round it up. You've got a van, you're loaded with people and gear, and you're on the road. The most important thing now is to relax, enjoy yourself, put on some great shows. Here are a few things to consider when you are touring. Food. What are you going to eat? Seems funny to talk about food first, but the temptation to surrender to fast food, surviving off grease and sugar is massive. Obviously, it's delicious, but it's fast and it's easy and it's pretty cheap. But after a few days of this, your energy and focus will just drop. It is so important to stay healthy in order to perform at your best night after night. Lack of sleep, long trips in the car, alcohol, and poor dietary choices will combine to exhaust you. Help yourself recover with basic nutrition. Remember, eat fruit, avoid too much packet food and fried food. Choose a stir fry. After I said fried food. you know, choose the vegetables over the burger just every now and then. It doesn't have to, you don't have to be super crazy about it. Just try not to eat fast food fried crap for every single meal. Just try a little, and I promise you will see the difference between yourself and those who don't. And stay hydrated. Drink tons of water. It's so important. Oh, yeah, whatever, Kane. Doesn't matter. It is so important. Great quote from Vinnie Paul, the drummer from Pantera. I always try to stay hydrated. It's very important. You know what? It's it's funny, actually, because when I heard that quote, that little quote has stayed with me. It's just him saying, stay hydrated. It's important. Everyone says that. But Vinnie Paul saying it, some hard metal dude that's all party and you know, into drinking, and to hear him say that he drinks tons of water because it's so important, that stuck with me. And I have ever since, and I'm better because of it, and you can be too. Accommodation, what we talked about before. It can be really important to sleep somewhere nice, but it's not uncommon for new touring acts to sleep in the van, in the parking lots or at the venue, which is okay once or twice, but it will wear you out fast. If you can't book a bed somewhere, you need to be asking everyone at each show if they have somewhere you can sleep. A floor will do. You'll be surprised how many people will go out of their way to support touring acts. Bar staff, other musicians, even fans may have a spare room or a couch if you just ask nicely. I've stayed in hotels for free. People have booked me hotels because I haven't had a place to stay. Or I've slept on pub couches. I've stayed in country estates. I've slept on, you know, party flat floors. And it's easier when you're younger. These days I wouldn't be wanting to do that, but yeah, I don't know. Think about where you're sleeping. Just take your pillow and your sleeping bag. You never know what the situation will call for. You could be sleeping in the van or in your car or on a random couch. If you can't find places to sleep, put the word out on social media for friends and family and friends of friends and family, and someone will have somewhere that you can stay. Just do it ahead of time. Merch. We're going to do a whole podcast on merch, but, you know, currently, you're in the business of converting random people into fans of your music, and there's nothing people love more than to take a memento of the night. It can be physical albums, t-shirts, underwear, coasters, badges, phone cases, anything you like that's got your logo or your name on it. The point is that you have something to sell. Again, people love to support touring acts. Put the word out during your set that you have merch and hang out at your merch table after you've played. People love to come and talk to you, congratulate you, say how terrible you were, and they'll buy merch. Have your email list sign up and all your merch displayed and priced appropriately with pre-made signs and labels. And then convince them to buy your stuff. And if they don't want to, at least get their email address. It can seriously supplement your tour income. And sometimes merch is the one thing that makes it financially viable to do another tour. You could actually even break even, which leads us to costs. You're probably going to lose money on your tours. It sucks, but it's the reality of touring as a, air quotes again, unknown band. No one knows who you are, really, and so you're going to lose money. Sorry. It sucks. Sometimes on some of my tours, we've broken even, and that is a huge success. I think actually one time I even came home with a couple of $100 after a three-week tour. Van hire. Petrol, accommodation, food, drinks, promotion, merch, and sound engineers. These things all cost money. That's without even, we're not even talking about flights. We're just talking about touring on the ground. And you know, ticket sales will not cover everything, and merch sometimes won't even cover everything. So, you know, financially, bigger acts, signed acts, playing in large venues, they often don't even break even on tours. As you become better known, you're expected to put on bigger shows, which result in bigger production costs, more expensive crew. So usually breaking even on a tour means it's a huge success. You just kind of have to accept that you're going to have to take a financial hit in order to tour for the first few times. Just keep expenses to a minimum. You know, drinks at each bar do add up, so skimp where you can. But try to remember, you're paying money for the privilege of playing your music to new people every night, and hopefully those people will become fans, and you're building your career, or you're sharing your art with the world. I don't know, whatever you need to do to get through it, do it and take the hit. And honestly, it's worth it. I'd do it again. And I do. You need some other people on your tour. If you can't take other people, then you need to fill these roles: driver, merch sales, and tour manager. The driver drives the van. They fill it with petrol, and they're responsible for parking the van. A merch salesperson sets up the merch table and sells your merch. They might also help at the door if needed, and they might also drive the van. A tour manager is the person who has the master sheet of all the dates, venues, acts, and accommodation. This is the person who organizes everyone, gets you to the venue on time, and who chases the payment at the end of the night. They might also sell tickets, merch, and drive the van. All these roles are essential with every tour. It's up to you to decide who will fill them. Most often it's yourself or one of the other people in the van, in the band, filling each role. That way you don't have to pay someone else, but ask around. I've been on multiple tours where we've just had a friend come down and help out with driving and selling merch just because they want to be involved. They've got some holiday to take and they just want to get drunk and hang out with the band. Don't pay them unless, you know, they're a professional. If they're just a mate hanging out, you don't need to pay them. Unless you're, you know, making enough money to actually pay a professional. If you guys are making tons of money on your tour, maybe pay your mate. But if he just wants to come along for fun, you don't need to give him any money. Give him a t-shirt. until you can afford one, you are your own guitar tech. Sorry. Sound engineer. This is the one person you should be paying every single time. Either bring your own sound engineer or hire one locally. But either way, they should be a professional. Sometimes the venue will offer an engineer for a small fee or pay for one themselves, but the engineer always gets paid. It's because sound engineers are professionals. They're trained. They seriously know what they're doing, and they can make or break your show. A sound engineer is responsible for how the audience hears your music. They need to know their stuff and to be able to adapt quickly to any situation. Next to you, their role is the most important at your gig. If you aren't touring with your own sound engineer, get friendly with the local and discuss your requirements with them in depth before the show. Buy them a drink. They are your new best friend for the night. So you're there, you've got everything sorted. You need to, you know, make sure that you're performing at the best you can. You're winning over new fans every single night. These people have shown up and paid entry, hopefully, to spend their hard-earned time and money watching you perform. They are giving you this chance to convert them to your cause. You better bring everything you have every single time. It doesn't matter how tired you are, how poor you are, whatever else is going on, like your computer blowing up. For the time that you are on stage, you are the embodiment of your music. You should leave everything on that stage, 100% commitment every time, regardless. Sometimes you are going to be performing to hundreds of people in a packed out venue. Other times, unfortunately, you're going to be performing to the bar staff. In both situations, the people watching should be getting the same performance from you. Imagine performing to the bar staff and messing it up. You're probably never, you know, just not putting in anything, any effort. You're never going back to that venue. Imagine if you put in everything, put on a huge show, just to the bar staff. There's two people standing behind the bar and they watch your show. Do you think that they're going to be impressed? Yes, definitely. Maybe they're going to be running a venue in the future. Maybe they're a massive fan. Maybe they write for a magazine. Maybe they review for a blog. Who knows? You don't. So just make sure that you're putting on the best show you can every single time. You're going to get yourself some new fans on tour. Get ready to meet people in every single city who are going to connect with your music. This is one of the greatest feelings you will know as a musician. Be humble, be appreciative, be thankful, be kind, and enjoy yourself. So I think that's probably enough for this week. What else needs to happen? I need to get this online very quickly. The last thing I need to say is the band of the week, the Physics House Band. Check them out, experimental rock from Brighton, since we were talking about them before. Check out the Physics House Band at facebook.com/thephysicshouseband and thephysicshouseband.com. Yeah, go and like Musicians Map on Facebook. Check out the Musicians Map ebook, audiobook. There's a spiel coming up right now. Thanks, guys, for listening. Have a good week. This podcast and the website musiciansmap.org is dedicated to sharing knowledge and advice about music and the music industry. It's all about community, honesty, and positive progress. The experiences, stories, and advice shared on the podcast are given freely with the hope that you can relate to them and benefit from them. If you've found this podcast enjoyable or useful, make sure to check out the Musician's Map ebook and audiobook about building success in music. You'll find it at musiciansmap.org/books, Amazon, and Audible. And buying a copy of the book directly contributes to the continuation of this podcast. There's also a free ebook, How to Get Your Music Heard. Go to musiciansmap.org/free-book to get your copy. If you have a suggestion for the podcast or for the YouTube channel, or you just want to get in touch and say hello, please do so via the Musicians Map Facebook group or by email at kane@musiciansmap.org. Thanks for listening and stay positive.